don't suppose that Yahweh here is telling us that government is going to be an equal opportunity thief, because we are down to point 7 before he speaks of governments usurping the labor of women. He wants to make sure that we understand that women will also be demeaned and abused and used by government and their leaders, but that they are not going to be used to create and man the weapons of war. Now, he says, and with regard to your daughters, he will continually take them for, and now this one is interesting, it's rakah. And almost every translation says for pure perfume makers.
Mm-hmm.
But rakah really means to make and mix ointments, to make ointments by mixing things together, and to do so as a druggist would do it. It means to mix and prepare oil and spices in a pharmacy to make compounds. In other words, to supply drugs. And he's also going to use them as menial executioners and as butchers. To cook up killing without a struggle, to butcher and to slaughter. Even as bakers of bread or cakes. These would be religious cakes and, of course, the food for the military. But he's going to use the women to drug the people. They're going to be drugged. And as I say, most religious translators render rakah as perfume makers. And I suspect they do so to trivialize the work of women and to diminish the scope of Yahweh's rebuke. But the word is actually very similar to the Greek kriso, to supply and apply drugs, as well as to be drugged, upon which Christ and Christian were derived.
And that doesn't shatter people when you tell them. And I go,
no. Yeah, no, the basis of Christ and Christian is to apply drugs. And Yosha is translated from Hebrew into Greek, saying so, when he was speaking to the last of the assemblies in Laodicea. And he says, you know, you make this and apply this this eye balm. And he says, you know, I'd much rather you open your eyes and look to me. But he is the term that he used to speak of the making and the application of those drugs was kriso. So kriso, the basis of Christ and Christian is to drug, and that's what's being conveyed here. The women
well,
are going
did,
to be
I
making
find,
drugs.
I did find one who mixes ointments. So that's about as far as deep as I could get with my sources, but at least it's not the same as the more English dictionaries that talk about perfume.
Yeah, what you have to do is the same thing that that I try to do with every translation, which is to look at the
multiple.
Yeah, here there's three words. It's R, Q, and the CH sound. Check.
Right.
So what words and what ideas are communicated by R, Q, H, C, H. And what you find is to mix together ointments. And the ointments are those that you'll find in many of the more sophisticated lexicons are to those would use in an apothecary.
Yeah.
So, I remember I was writing this, and my wife and I went out to lunch that day, and she had heard on the news. We have a home in Butler County, Ohio, and she heard in the news that in the first 9 months of last year, now Butler County is a tiny little county north of Cincinnati in Ohio, in the year 2015, that 108 of the 135 deaths in this little old county were attributed to heroin overdoses. 80% of the deaths in Butler County, Ohio, were attributable to heroin overdoses.
That's a new drug.
Yeah.
It's not, what is it, weed, marijuana.
It's heroin. Yeah, heroin use is up over 400%, almost 500% in the last decade. Do you know why heroin use is up?
Well, it could be some because of who supplies and what's available.
because of our invasion of Afghanistan.
Yeah, that's exactly my point. We control the opium.
Afghanistan, during the time that the United States deposed the, at least initially deposed the Soviet government in Afghanistan, and with American weapons, and we rented the Taliban and Al Qaeda to depose the Russian influence in Afghanistan. Immediately thereafter, the Afghanis became the supplier of about 80% of the heroin in the world. And then the Taliban just rooted it all out.
Mm-hmm.
And so heroin use plummeted because there was no supply. And then America invades Afghanistan, and immediately the poppy production and the heroin manufacturing goes up. And once again, Afghanistan is providing not only 90% of the heroin for the world, but that heroin use worldwide is up over 500%.
Why is it there's a disconnect in understanding the history of the opium to the Chinese, to the British, and then how we took over in Vietnam and Laos and grew it?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, look what happened to the coke. The coke supply and distribution as a result of our invasion of Vietnam. And how much of the military and the CIA was enriched by America's slave trade, all as brought to you by the U.S. military. The drug trade, all brought to you by the U.S. military. The war for drugs.
Yeah, they can't stop the war on drugs because that's them.
Yeah.
You got to put up a pretense. Once again, back to number five, you got to put up a pretense.
By the way, even AFA, the baker, carries concerning overtones. And in Hosea 7:4, the bakers are called adulterers for adulterating the process of baking, as well as for creating the round wafer cakes used in religious rituals. That is why mothers were implicated in Jeremiah when they were talking about their making the little cakes for Easter time worship of
the kids are out there picking up the stuff,
yeah. Yeah, the men's are kindling the fire, the kids are picking up the sticks, and the women are baking the cakes. Number eight, from the best of your fields and pastures for grazing and your cultivated land and vineyards, as well as your olive groves, he will continually and actually take. And he will give all of these to his slaves and servants, to his designated officers and officials, to his dependents. Oh, we have wealth redistribution. We've got Bernie Sanders.
Bernie,
baby, right here. I'm going to take from the productive, and I'm going to give to the unproductive because I want the unproductive to become my dependents. Because if the unproductive are to my dependents, because I was able to get them to vote for me, because there's more of them, then I will be empowered to legally steal from the productive. The process, I will cause the unproductive to be dependent, and therefore they will entrench me and my way of power.
Yeah, it doesn't say buy. I'm going to buy your product to feed my army.
No, it's going to take.
Is LaCroix is game.
What were you given game last year in this house that we have in Ohio? The first 6 months they took $11,000, and for tax, property tax, and we were told that that 9,000 of the 11,000 for the first 6 months went to the school district. You know how many children we have in the school district?
You have zero.
That is correct. Did they give me anything of benefit for my $11,000 for the first 6 months?
Well, I've asked that question for years. Not having any children in California.
Yeah. No.
Most of the state, two-thirds of the state budget goes to the schools here.
Yeah. Governments take. They don't give you anything in return.
Mm.
And if you even look at those who have children, they're getting indoctrinated.
They're a lousy deal.
Right. They're losing their ability to exercise good judgment. Go ahead, Scott.
I was actually going to say that I do have a kid in school, and I'm not getting anything for my money either. So don't feel bad.
Matter of fact, when we did have kids in school, we put them in public school for the first, I think, 4 years. And it was so horrendous that by third and fourth grade, the teachers were complaining at the parent-teacher conference that our kids were not good students because rather than doing the lessons in math and science, they were correcting the teachers and teaching the lessons in math and science. And they were complaining. Yeah. I said, you're complaining that our sons know more than you do and can teach more effectively than you do on subjects like this.
See, in my classroom, that becomes a teacher's aide. You're hired, kid.
You're hired,
Over there.
Yeah, it's what we ended up doing because we realized that the only merit of the school was for socialization.
Mm-hmm.
Just to recognize how to get along with and work with other kids. We provided their education at home. We got nothing for our tax dollars. Nothing.
That's awful.
And so that's what he's saying here. The government's going to take from the productive. Now, there are three things listed here because God communicates on more levels than you and I do. He said they're going to take from your land and vineyards, your kareem, your cultivated land and vineyards. They're going to take from your olive groves, which is zeith, and they're going to take from your fields and pastures. That was the first one, sedah. So, beyond the fact that today this is known as progressive taxation and spending, wealth redistribution that penalizes those who are productive and rewards those who are not. Now, recognize, of course, that Robin Hood was a thief engaged in armed robbery. The system that's called entitlements never works, never creates environment or economic progress. It always retards. And that the government always skims from the top. But and this is really how America developed a $20 trillion national debt and is $80 trillion in unfunded mandates. But I want you to think about the things that God said that he was going to take. There were three productive assets, the best sheep, the best wine, the best olive oil. The first two represent Passover sacrificial lamb and the life's blood that he would shed on the doorway to life and upon the mercy seat to make the covenant's children immortal. The olive oil represents the set-apart spirit because olives, enlighten. Olive oil enlightens, it cleanses and nourishes. Her light perfects and empowers.
Right.
So that's what's being taken.
Every key component.
Yes, every key component. So your sowing of seeds and your cultivated land and vineyards, he will decimate by demanding a tax, confiscating a tenth. And he will give all of it to the high-ranking military officers, the government officials, and the religious ministers he has castrated, and to his subjects, slaves, and servants. Okay, well. So you're going to sow seeds in your cultivated land, in your vineyards, and your cultivated land, and he's going to decimate it by a tax. He's going to confiscate your wealth. And he's going to use this tax to enrich his cronies.
Right.
Because, you take Hitler. What do you think Hitler would have done if it was just Hitler? You realize this.
He never got out of Austria.
Weak-looking, stupid guy, right?
Yeah. Nothing.
Nothing.
They used him.
Right. What do you think that old King Saul would have done if he didn't have cohorts?
Well, he wouldn't have a big army, that's for sure.
Do you think that America would be in Afghanistan and Iraq if Bush was all by his lonesome?
Military guys don't give up their pension, don't give up their power.
No.
It's good to work at the Pentagon. It's big status stuff. Lots of money. You know, half of them got so many servants. I mean, well,
yeah,
I don't care what they call them there. General's aides.
Oh, I know.
Just servants. Right. Like a
oh, I know. And they fly around and G5 jets, and they're driven, chauffeured here and there. Their meals are provided for them. They have cooks devoted to them. It's just pathetic. It is pathetic. What will you do? So anyway, he says the people are going to sow the seeds, and they're going to cultivate the vineyards, but he's going to decimate them, demanding a tax, confiscating a tenth. And he's going to give it to his high-ranking military officers and government officials and religious ministers. And it says that he has castrated. This is correct, which means that he will offer to totally provide it to those he has made impotent, bestowing it in its entirety to the heads of state that he has complete control over. And that's really true. You know, if you look at the people like in the Pentagon, there's no way they're going to ever rebel. You're not going to find one of them to say, you know, boy, what we did in Afghanistan was counterproductive. We did in Iraq was counterproductive. We turned a bad thing into a worse thing.
They won't even say it after they get out of the thing and they're working on news channels.
Of course. No.
I mean, they're party lying down till they drop in a grave.
They've all been castrated. Indeed.
Not a backbone.
No. And number 10, and with your male and female workers, your subordinates and dependents, in addition to your best young men and your finest beasts of burden and your most desirable oil, he will consistently take to engage in his prescribed affairs and mission. What I'm reading this is, Yahweh is willing to give everything we need. The only thing he's asking in return is that we listen to him and we accept the conditions under which these things are being given. He never once asks us for our money.
Nope. Well, that's a political Christianity.
Yeah, never once asks us for our money. Never once takes anything from us. And here's the government in the business of taking. And it's not just taking, it's taking to serve their own self, their own self-desired ambitions.
Mm-hmm.
It's all for the enrichment of the individual. Not the people who are working, the people who are controlling them. And so he's going to take from your male and your female workers, your subordinates, your dependents, the best young men, and your finest beasts of burden, and your most desirable oil. He's going to consistently take it, and he's going to use it to engage in his prescribed mission. So why would you choose something like that? All he's doing is taking for his own benefit, the leaders of government, taking for themselves.
As a context, this is Samuel telling these people this is what he's going to take, and they still
do it.
Horse's mouth. Yeah. I mean, what do you want?
Your flocks he will decimate by demanding a tax, confiscating a tenth. And number 12, and you shall literally and continually exist for him. Accordingly, therefore,
as slaves. Wow.
You know, you look at what happened for 1,000 years under Roman Catholicism, when Theodosius imposed Roman Catholicism. You know, Imperial Rome was a caste system more entrenched than the caste system we witness in India today.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, if you were the lowest rung, of course, on that caste system were slaves. And then right above the slave was the foreigner, and then the Roman plebeian, and then there was the equestrian class, and then there was the praetorian class, and then above the praetorian class were the emperors, the Caesars. It was a caste system. The only way that you could move up a rung in class is to do something that was considered heroic in war, which means the Romans, you had to do something incredibly despicable. And So not only did Rome impose its will, conquer and enslave most of the nations within reach of its legions, but it enslaved its own people.
Mm-hmm.
And that really was the nature of all of the monarchies. The people were the property of the kings. And it has been true throughout the world. And you know, you look at it today and you say, oh, but in America, we've been liberated from all that. There is no more slavery in America. No, of course, America was built on slavery.
Mm-hmm.
And slavery had existed
even
in America.
In New York, where they didn't call them slaves, if they're making pennies to come sell stuff,
right.
I just read today that these
sheltered workshops, which is a...
Sweatshops, yeah.
Yeah, it's a sheltered workshop is a name that's been used to describe where mentally and physically handicapped children work for 8 to 10 hours a day for 5 to 10 cents an hour.
Yeah,
for pennies. And they're going to actually begin to shut some of those down. But, you know, it's a slave workforce. And... when you look at America and you say, all right, well, we did away with slavery back a little over 150 years ago, I would say that when you become a dependent on the government, when you're amongst the 50 to 55% that receive their monthly check from government and you are dependent upon government, now I'm going to say there's a lot of people that receive Social Security and other kinds of retirement that are wholly independent of government, and you know they paid their Zen and their and you know it keeps food on the table. I don't have a problem with that. But if you're one of those who consistently votes for more entitlements, and your housing is subsidized by the government, your food is subsidized by the government, your income is subsidized by the government, you're a slave to that government. You are a dependent. You have no independence because you're incapable of being independent. And because you are incapable of being independent and you have grown totally dependent, you're really no different than a slave.
That's true.
I would also go as far to say that those who take heroin, for example, they're a slave to the drug. It controls them. Anything controls you, you're a slave to. The government controls people. There's slaves to it. And that's going to get worse. We're going to continue to curtail freedoms as we move towards the tribulation. But my goodness, God had a lot to say, didn't he?
This is an absolutely frightening picture. Because it's not about Samuel anymore. It's about us. I mean, that's where we started. But
Yeah. It's about our time. And you will cry out. This is which is really interesting.
This is a goodie. Yeah.
And you will cry out in this day, because of the concerning presence of your ruler, your king, whom you have chosen for yourselves. But Yahweh will not answer you in those days.
And that's totally fair.
Yep. And
totally fair.
What percentage of America participates in the in elections? Either by voting or by talking of the adult population who's qualified,
mm-hmm.
by either voting or contributing or advancing the cause of articulating the merits of one politician over another,
mm-hmm.
but 70-80% of the adult population in various elections.
Actually.
Yeah, you chose your government.
Yeah.
And now that your government is run amok, God says, don't cry to me. I'm not going to hear it.
Yeah.
I told you not to do it. Yeah, so, you know, America made a mess of Iraq and caused Syria. And now is making a mess of Syria is going to cause World War III. And as it continues to get worse and worse, God's saying, don't cry to me about it. I don't want to hear about it. I just don't want to hear about it. I told you this was going to happen. You know, we are on the cusp of World War III. It's inevitable. And it's starting exactly where God said it was going to start and the way God said it was going to start. He said that America's belligerence was going to lead to the fall of Damascus in Syria. And then the militants by the millions were going to come into to Israel right after America thins Israel at the waist, and that the world would line up and it would become the most deadly war in human history.
And I encourage people, if you hadn't read that section on Damascus, wow, that is almost like a newspaper.
Yeah, the it's the seventh volume of Yada Yada, yadayada.com. Volume 7, and there are, I think, 5 chapters there, and they're all worth reading, because what it does is it chronicles why Yahweh used the examples he did in Daniel of the four beasts, and how Babylon was the birthplace of the ultimate beast, the beast of religion and politics and governance and militarism, this beast that he is assailing here. And that Babylon was the birthplace of it, and then it became Media Persia, and then it became Greece, and then it became Imperial Rome, and then it became, then something grew out of Imperial Rome with a little and lowly horn, which was Paul. Pauline Christianity grew out of Rome and became the Roman Catholic Church, and it was the most vicious, most deadly beast of all. And so he goes through and chronicles the history of those beasts, and so. With Rome getting special attention, both as Imperial Rome and then as Roman Catholicism, you know, I wrote 4 exhaustive chapters on that, on the history, so that we could all appreciate why God was warning us about these 4 beasts. Actually, 5 beasts, because of the little and lowly horn, Pauline Christianity growing out of Imperial Rome. And then the last chapter in that volume currently is the chapter that analyzes Yashaya 17 and 18, where God is explicitly blaming America for the war that emerges in Syria and ultimately causes the fall of Damascus. And then
Amazing prophecy.
Yeah, the thinning of Israel at the waist by forcing Israel to give up the West Bank. Followed by the World War III, which is the phase that God is the most disgusted by, is the millions of Muslims rushing as jihadists, as a tsunami of jihadists, a flood of jihadists into Israel. And that's where we are. And you know, we only have 10 years before the hellish nature of the tribulation is unleashed. If you're listening to these words and you have not dealt with this referendum, and you know, in the previous programs, the referendum has been between religion and a relationship with Yahweh, and in this program, it's between government and God.
Well, we treat it as a religion,
right? Yeah. And but these are both villains. Government. And the first thing that Yahweh asked of Abraham before he could engage in the covenant relationship was to walk away from his country. Now, it's when you understand what the country was, Babel, that you understand that it was the first beast and therefore it was the birthplace of religion. But right on the surface, you just walk away from your country. So government and religion are intertwined foes that God is telling you that you need to separate yourself from if you're going to engage your relationship with him. So that's the referendum. If you haven't dealt with this referendum, if you aren't aware that this referendum exists, then this would be a wonderful time to become aware and then make a decision. Make an informed decision between what God is offering and what man is offering. You can't have both. And when you look at what man is offering, you really don't want it. And if you look at what God's offering, you can't live without it. So it is time for us to make that decision. And God is saying, and if you don't, if you choose government, don't cry to him. He's not going to listen to you. So it's a, I would say, Kirk, this has got to be amongst the most surprising presentations that you'll find in the Torah, Prophets, and Psalms. And there's more to this that we will continue to discuss.
Yeah.
God's laid it on the line.
Not so much in Samuel. Now, Samuel is one of the appearances of Yahweh, Yahusha, right?
Yeah.
So that should have been the clue that I missed.
Yes.
Because it doesn't seem as I don't know. Is you know, there he is with Moshe. There he is with, Adam and Samuel.
Yeah, with Samuel, it says that
he grabs everybody the way the others do.
Samuel said that Samuel saw God as an individual, just like Moshe did, just like Abraham did. They ate together. They talked together. They drank together.